Many years ago, well, 17, 18 years ago, I wrote a book called Back to the Family. This is, 17 years ago, and it was very difficult to write that book because 17 years ago, of course, I was still in high school. Very difficult to write a book on psychology when you're still in high school. One of the chapters in the book was the childhoods of exceptional parents. The premise of the book was, we're going to go around the country and interview very good, competent, strong parents who are raising great kids, as nominated by National State Teachers of the Year. And we will ask them, how are you doing this? Tell us about your religion, your best discipline, your worst frustrations, your struggles, your fears, your guilts. What do you think is most important in parenting? How do you stand against the crowd? We just pick their brains. Do you spank? Don't you spank? What's your worst discipline problem? What's your most creative discipline response? And we asked them about their own childhoods. I was doing an interview when the book first came out, and the person, I think it was a station in Denver, asked me a question that I had not gotten before. It was not on the list of standard publicity questions that you give interviewers. He said, what do you think is the most reassuring finding in this book? I thought that was a very insightful question. I believe it is this. When we interviewed these families and we asked them about their own childhoods, 25% of them had ugly, chaotic, traumatic, sometimes alcohol-ridden, abusive childhoods. Nasty stuff. And they went on to be the best parents that a teacher had ever seen. Now, if you look at some of the theories dominant out there, they certainly convey the impression, if you had a bad childhood, you're going to have a bad adulthood. You're going to think you're okay. You're going to muddle your way along. And then one day, you're going to come home from your job at the bank, where you're an upstanding citizen, and you're going to torch the whole neighborhood. And people are going to tell the news cameras that gather outside, she was such a quiet lady, a good Catholic woman. I believe she was a daily mass goer. I think she was. She knitted shawls for the nursing home. St. Martin de Porres Society. Absolutely. I don't know what happened. She was always so pleasant. This idea that you'll muddle your way along and then you'll just snap. 25%. Of these parents had nasty, ugly, traumatic, abusive childhoods. We had a family from Chicago, and we were interviewing the son. At the time, the son was about 14 years of age. And we said, tell us about your mother. He said, my mother had no affection growing up. My mother was not really valued. And she grew up to be the most affectionate person I know. And then I think this 14-year-old kid said one of the most wonderful lines in this whole book. This 14-year-old kid's insight flies straight into the face of so much of the dominant theory out there now. Dominant victim, traumatic theory. He said, she had to teach herself to be affectionate. What a great line. She taught herself to be affectionate. One of the stories from this mom's childhood, she was 5 years old when her 2-year-old brother died. And she said, one of the tragedies of it for her personally was that as she grew through childhood, when her parents were frustrated with her, they might say something like, you know the wrong child died? Now, that's a pretty unspeakable thing to say. And me being a sensitive, probing psychologist type, knowing how to ask questions that you rank amateurs would never consider asking, I said, How does that make you feel? She said, well, obviously it hurt, but she said, long range, it helped me become the mother I am today. I said, you might have to explain that one. She said, well, every time I heard it, it was an emotional punch in the gut. And it made me more determined that if I ever was a mom, my kids were never going to doubt how much I loved them. Now, this lady was no wimp disciplinarian, but she also used that trauma, that ugliness, those comments to drive her into being a wonderful mother, contrary to what she saw growing up. That's what I say to you. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit saying, oh, I sure would love to convert your heart. I sure would love to give you just a new personhood, but I can't. Nope, you had a bad childhood. Nothing I can do about it now. If I'd have only got you when you were four, things would be different now, that's for sure. But no, I'm only God. Dominant psychological theory says, nope, can't do much about it now. I wish I could have, though, because after all, I am the author of most of that theory, but most of that theory in terms of reality anyway. Most reassuring finding in the Back to the Family book. I know some of you listening had bad, ugly childhoods, and I know you've doubted yourselves because of it. And I know you said, I never had a model. How do I know? The resiliency of the human spirit. The power of grace. The ability of the person to leave behind the yuck and go on to be completely different than anything they knew and anything they saw. That's a pretty reassuring finding, wouldn't you think? I think so. Because after all, when I was a kid, I was very quiet and shy, never spoke in public. Don't you sometimes wish I hadn't gotten over that?